Bigfoot News Show. Bringing you Bigfoot News Show, yo. Watching in the woods, catching all the food. Digging deep to bring you all the news. From sightings to footprints, it's all in the light. Stay tuned to Squatch Geek, it's out of sight.
And good evening, cyberspace. Welcome to the Bigfoot News for today's date, April 12, 2024. I'm your host, your guide, the Squatch Detective Steve Halls, along with my co-host right down there, Mr. Chris Bennett. Hello, Chris.
Hey, Steve. How you doing, man? I hope you guys are staying dry up there. Because
we're not. Absolutely not.
Yeah, we've been rained all week. People are getting desperate to mow their yards because as soon as the sun popped out, they would be out there with riding mowers, and then in about 15, 20 minutes, it'd start raining again.
Yep. It's actually getting a little warmer here, too.
Yeah. What about the neck? Is the neck still working?
Neck was a little cranky this morning. Did my visit today, so that obviously I feel a little bit better after the visit. Yeah. But they gave me a few tools, so now I have something that I can put my head in, and it will actually stretch my vertebrae a little bit.
Oh yeah. Yeah. Yeah.
Take some of that pressure off there. Let that hopefully to float back in.
Right. And you get this kind of weather when it's cold and rainy, man, it just makes it that much worse.
Yep. And they also gave me, the muscle stimulator machine as well. They gave me one of those minis. So
electrocute you.
right. Yeah. So looking forward to I did a little bit of the traction, the cervical traction machine.
Yeah.
So I did a little bit of the cervical traction machine today for about a half hour, and
you're probably about 3 inches taller now.
With everything, I actually have gotten a little bit taller. I've over the years I lost about maybe a half an inch.
Yeah.
And I've gained that back already.
Yeah. Oh yeah. But it's not been really good weather to be out on foot in the woods here in Kentucky, but that's okay. Those days are coming.
Yep. Sure are. So anyway, hey, guess who made it first in the chat tonight? Bing. There it is.
Lester. All right, Lester.
Let's do our roll call and get to the big news, because we have three very interesting stories, and the last one we're going to really talk about. Okay, so first in today, Lester Taylor, of course.
Best.
So we must do this very appropriately. Lester Taylor, first in today, and let's see. I don't see the applause button anymore.
Maybe I got it.
No, I don't. It was
good enough.
Good enough. Yeah, that'll work. And of course, we got Daniel Weeks in the chat. Hello, Daniel. Walter Kroll. Thank you, sir.
Walter.
Ristol. Ristol's back in. Hello, sir. Ristol. Good to see you.
Welcome.
There's Jen. Hello, Jen. Good to see you. Pete H. Hello, Pete.
Pete.
Buttworm, hey, what's up going on, brother?
Buttworm.
And Grasshopper is in the house. Grass, what's going on? Angel Nolan, good to see you, Angel, as well.
Angel, welcome.
Hey, there's Nikki Sasquatch Secrets. Hello, Nikki. Good to see you. And who else do we got in the house? Finding the Trackway. Bill, what's going on, brother?
New Trackway.
There's Mick. And hey, Mick. There's Mick.
Good to see you.
Right now, that's what we got.
I believe it's,
people are being a little bit quiet. Yeah. So,
Jeffy Smith. Hey, Jeffy.
Jeffy, what's going on?
Everybody's still filing in, but.
yeah, people file in a little bit. But yeah, here we are, Friday night, as usual, 9 to 10. And the office assistant is smiling at me very intently because he knows I got a corral of snacks over here. And he just stared at me with his toothy grin.
I'm going to have to get me a bowl of snacks to keep near me.
But see, the thing is, he likes these little bacon treats.
Oh, yeah.
But for some reason, he gets bored with the gravy bones.
Now
the office assistant is sitting up looking intently at the gravy bone, so we will give him one. There you go. He's happy.
That's the way the wise Yorkies are. They like, instead of the hard, crunchy ones, they like the soft, chewy ones like meat. You know.
See. Boom. Little Kilroy showed up. Brian and Chewy go hiking. What's going on there?
Brian's pretty, man.
We are going to have Brian on soon. There seems to be some confusion about this Sunday show. We have scheduled Tom Steinberg. We really left the whole, not everybody in that Florida forum really answered if they could make it or not, but we will get them rescheduled for another day. And then, of course, the week after, we're going to be doing a follow-up on the David Turner incident. And we'll review that, and we'll talk about the David Turner incident and, you know, whatever became of David Turner.
We'll do a follow-up.
So really, a really interesting show that night will be. And a lot of people love the David Turner story. It's one of the most popular stories we've told, if not the most popular story we've told on Squatch Stories here on the channel. So
I was surprised about that, but I'm very glad.
Chris, you did a great job. And if I had the applause button, I would.
That's one of the things about when you're not scripted. You know, I wasn't reading that off of a script. I was just off the top of my head. That's why I tend to repeat myself every now and then.
Yeah. So we'll just give you the, you know, we'll give you one of those again. Well, Grass, if you followed the channel, you would know who David Turner is.
Yeah.
Just saying. So why you gotta hit that notification bell. Anyway, shall we get to the news tonight?
Yeah, where are we gonna start out?
All right, we're gonna start with your story there, Chris.
Oh, okay. Yeah. Let's see.
And Jen says, as long as we don't lose the round. Well, I can get the applause one. And thank you so much, Bat Mom, for becoming a member. We appreciate it so much. Thank you.
Yeah, appreciate it, Bat Mom.
So,
I found this one a couple of weeks ago.
Hold on. We don't have applause for that, so we'll just give her a... Thank you again, Bat Mom.
Hey, that's a little different, but I found this one a couple weeks ago now. We didn't get to it last week, so I
was hey, there's my good buddy Brian Wolf.
Brian, so
Brian is the DJ for the Hocking Hills Bigfoot Festival. He runs a great website. I believe it's Wolf. Just put it in chat there for everybody to see, Brian, because I'm a little brain dead right now.
I'm gonna give me a pen and paper here, hey?
When you get it over. Yep. He's got a great little internet station that runs some really great rock and roll music. He's a rock and roll guy. And spent a couple of nights sipping a couple of bourbons with Brian. And we're actually thinking about going over and doing a little piece once a week for his channel as well. So we're still working on.
Man, that's like the Bigfoot Central up there. When you did that show up there and did the live stream of Hocking Hills, you know, I was watching it on and off through the day, and I was like, I couldn't believe how many people. It's like you were sitting inside of a shopping mall on Saturday, just a big crowd of people constantly flowing past the camera. Of course, every now and then somebody would stop and talk to Coles, you know.
Every once in a while. But, okay, hold on. Oh. That's fine. In fact, I ain't never heard of Ralph.
I know we have a good position for Ralph. Let me complete this one about the.
That's right. Here we go.
Yeah, I found this one in the Richmond Observer, and like I said, this has been a couple of weeks ago now, or specifically about 11 days ago now. And it says a loaf. This from the Richmond Observer, over in North Carolina. Low-flying planes track Bigfoot sighting in Richmond County. Oh, Rockingham, North Carolina. A flurry of activity has gripped Richmond County as reports emerge of a dramatic nighttime operation involving low-flying planes tracking a suspected Bigfoot sighting in the remote forests of the region.
Weird, weird, weird.
Yeah. Eyewitnesses report seeing a convoy of military-style aircraft swooping low over the treetops in the dead of night. Both thermal imaging and searchlights have allegedly been used to scour the rugged terrain for signs of elusive creature. Speculation runs rampant as residents exchange theories about the purpose of the operation and the possible connection to recent Bigfoot sightings in the area.
Come get me a Snapple.
Oops!
Oh, wrong one. I couldn't believe my eyes, exclaimed one resident who witnessed the spectacle from his backyard. It's something out of a movie. These planes flying so low, it feels like they are practically brushing the tops of the trees. There is speculation that recent controlled burns in the Sandhills game lands may have been conducted to help flush Bigfoot from the deep woods.
You did say flush.
Yes, exactly. I knew that was coming. Local authorities remain tight-lipped about the nature of the operation. Rumors.
I got you cracked up on that one, yeah, didn't I?
Fueling rumors and speculation across the community. However, sources close to the investigation hint at a coordinated effort by multiple agencies to investigate the reported Bigfoot sightings and gather evidence to confirm the existence of the legendary creature. We're almost done, folks. As news of the operation spread, curiosity mingled with excitement and apprehension. Residents eagerly await updates on the progress of the search. Amateur researchers and Bigfoot enthusiasts are flocking to Richmond County, armed with cameras and camping gear, hoping to catch a glimpse of the elusive creature or uncover clues that could shed light on its mysterious existence.
Oh, wait, wait, wait. Here they come. Oh, never mind.
Get ready. Here it comes.
They're flocking. They're flocking.
Yes. And one man near the Richmond-Moore County line, agreed to speak on record. I don't know what the big deal is, he said. I had a couple of beers, Cokes, PBRs, Mountain Dews with Bigfoot about 2 weeks ago. He's a good dude, or ape, or whatever he is. Investigators are taking his report seriously, given his proximity to the game lands and Camp McCall, or McCall, whichever, Mackle, where the planes and controlled burns have been most prevalent.
Hey, over there at Camp Mickle.
Yeah. McCall, or, okay. Night skies remain ablaze with the glow of searchlights and the hum of aircraft engines echoing through the forest. This reads like a novel. Yeah, I can just picture this, you know. And the hunt for Bigfoot in Richmond County has taken on an intensity and urgency and captured the imagination of the entire region. Ours too. As the investigation continues, the truth behind the sightings and the significance of the low-flying planes remain shrouded in mystery, leaving residents on the edge of their seats and the legend of Bigfoot alive and well in the heart of North Carolina. And the date of this article was April 1st, 2024.
Yeah, we know that this is nothing but an April Fool's story.
Good though with aircraft, and the guy said, yeah, I had some beers with Bigfoot a couple weeks ago. What's the big deal?
Yeah, I have beers with them all the time. I'd be curious to know what kind of, does he like an amber, a bock, or does he like a stout, or perhaps a ISP, perhaps?
Or a
hoppy type of beer, yeah. Or, you know.
Bigfoot beer. There's an idea, Bigfoot beer.
Batmom says, the story sounds very plausible. I'm going to believe his story is factual.
I don't know. Somebody, they've took something and put it together there. It sounds kind of funny to me, especially the eyewitness, you know. Oh, yeah, I had ears Bigfoot a couple of weeks ago.
Yep. So that is, as we say, a good just little story.
Yeah.
But we do have a relatively good, that was, of course, April 1st. Hit yesterday. It was updated yesterday, April 11, 2024, coming from, there it is, News Nation, of all places. I mean, a fairly big media outlet.
Charlie.
And good for Charlie Raymond. Yeah. He's been, he was just on not too long ago here, I think, within the last month or two.
Mm-hmm.
And Charlie's always a great guest. He's a great researcher, great field guy. If anybody is staying in the Kentucky area and you're in the area of Clay City, make sure you check out and book at his inn, the Clay City Inn. Because not only will you get a beautiful room hosted by two wonderful people. His wife is wonderful, and he's got a wonderful dog named Whiskey. And not only will you get, you know, class comfort, but you may get a Bigfoot story or two. So
that's right. Yeah, and I think where he's at there's really either in or near Anderson County, and that's a big area. That's where the Panther Rock stuff that Philip Spencer did, the Wild Man of Kentucky documentary.
Right. The good old late Philip Spencer.
Yeah, Philip was a great guy, man.
He was. He really was. And I remember I did a pilot years ago down in Kentucky. And Philip actually recommended me to take his place because he was ill at the time.
Mm.
And
left us too soon.
Yes, far too soon. Anyway, let's get on to the story. So this story was written by Marvin Bartlett on April 11, 2024. Headline, Clay City, Kentucky, from Fox 56. And it said, it doesn't take long to notice the Clay City Inn is not your typical motel. It's a lodge built on legends. They see the Bigfoot decor and say, what's the story behind that? And I say, there's been a lot of sightings out here in that gorge, said Charlie Raymond, who runs the motel along with his wife, Lindsay, very beautiful woman. There are Bigfoot statues and cutouts all around the motel, plus figurines in the office and pictures in the guest rooms. Raymond hopes to open a museum on the property someday. He is also the founder of the Kentucky Bigfoot Research Organization. Well, I moved to Kentucky about 30 years ago, and I knew there had to be Bigfoots in Kentucky. He said that in the past three decades, he has investigated more than 500 sightings he believes are credible. If I had any in doubt, I throw it out. There are too many hoaxes. Raymond often shares his findings and theories with groups and has had standing room only crowds for presentations at the Slade Welcome Center. He has also been featured on Animal Planet, the History Channel, and the BBC. During his lecture, Raymond shares pictures, recordings, and witness accounts of Bigfoot sightings, many of them from eastern Kentucky. After his talks, people often come up to him and share tales of their own close encounters. Angie King told him she had seen a Bigfoot cross Highway 80 in Knott County two different times. I have a friend who made fun of me for 10 years until she saw it last year, King said, and now that friend is a believer. Raymond anticipates questions that he will get at presentations. He has heard them all dozens of times and has the ready answers. Audience members often wonder if people are seeing bears instead of Bigfoots. Bears have snouts and ears, said Raymond. These creatures are always described as having flat faces. Why hasn't anyone found Bigfoot bones? Raymond believes Bigfoot may bury their dead and that their bones disintegrate quickly. I do believe the latter, maybe not the prior, but that's irrelevant. Many other questions are answered on his website, KentuckyBigfoot.com. People who stay at the Clay City Inn often want to go on a Bigfoot hunt. Raymond can arrange that for a couple of people or large groups. He recently had a large group of 20 guys do it as part of a bachelor party.
That's kind
of
cool.
That's kind of cool. He recently led Angie King and a couple of her friends into the woods near Slade to demonstrate how he tries to make contact with Bigfoot. We believe Bigfoots communicate with the tree knocks, he said. King hit a large tree trunk with a bat, and the group waited for a response. Imagine if something knocked back right now, Raymond said. You would freak out, wouldn't you? Nothing happened that night, but Raymond said he had heard responses many times. No animal has hands that can pick up a stick and strike a tree that hard. Unlike many of the people he has interviewed, Raymond has not seen a Bigfoot, but he has heard their haunting howls and been close enough to have one throw rocks at him. I want to see one so bad, but when you're 3 or 4 miles back by yourself and one comes up and maybe they get a little aggressive with bluff charges or pushing trees over, you tend to leave. Raymond believes that there will eventually be irrefutable evidence that Bigfoot exists. You can have the best footage of Bigfoot and science is still not going to accept it. We need to get a specimen. We need a specimen. We need a body, but he doesn't want to kill one. Raymond knows some people think he's crazy, but he also knows he's changed a lot of minds with his lectures and guided hunts. I just wish people would be more open-minded, he said. It's exciting, he said. Even if you don't find anything, it's just a thrill to get out in the woods at night.
Yeah. True. Never a bad thing to get out into nature. If you have an encounter, oh, wow, that would be great. You know, right. You're going to win the lottery. But if not, right. Hey, what's the worst that happened? You got out and you enjoyed a little peace and quiet in the woods.
But that is really a great, great article, very pro Bigfoot, you know, article by News Nation. And just so people know, News Nation, which is going to be found on YouTube as well, they're doing a lot of stuff with UAPs as well. They've interviewed several times David Grush. They've had other folks on involved in that.
Well, yeah, UFOs is really taking off. You know, Henry, our buddy Henry May, he started a new show, the UFO Corner, HB May's Henry, UFO Corner, I think is what it is. But in addition to the Crypto Corner.
Yeah, hey, nobody puts baby in the corner.
Yeah. you know, I listen to Henry's stuff a lot. His first UFO show was about the Roswell incident. And that's cool. I love that one.
Yeah, it's very interesting. But Charlie did a great job, and hopefully he'll get some business out of it, too. I mean, that would be awesome for him. Yeah. And I love seeing people starting a business like the Clay City Inn. And I remember when they first bought that. In fact, they had just bought it when I was down there and when we were down there with Charlie out in the
Kentucky area. Here.
Yeah. So, fascinating area, too, as well, he deals with. I mean, Eastern Kentucky is really, and your area, Chris, very, very rich in stories down there and very rich in accounts.
Yeah, but, you know, it's really underreported, this whole area. Nobody's going to be dialing up the BFRO to tell them what they've seen, you know, unless they've been watching the show Finding Bigfoot, then they might do it. But
and that's been off for several years now as well.
Right. And some of the counties that's listed under Kentucky as for sightings list them as zero. And I may have talked to like 3 or 4 people that had like 3 or 4 different sightings. So I know they're under reporting.
Right.
Yeah, it's interesting.
Right. Tom, sorry to hear that, Tom. We'll see you Sunday night, brother. Be safe. Hope you're okay.
Yeah, take care of yourself, Tom.
And you need anything, don't feel free to reach out. Yep. And Brian said, you know, apparently Ohio is a hot spot. Well, of course, what is right next to Ohio, Kentucky. I mean, yeah, you know, you have that whole strain and then you have Pennsylvania and then you have New York. And so that whole area, I mean, really. Well,
when you start getting over to the eastern part of Kentucky, that's when you're getting into the mountainous regions there and the Daniel Boone National Forest and stuff like that. I mean, there are places over there, you know, people think that the United States is all settled and everything is, there's cities everywhere. That couldn't be further from the truth. You could walk for days over in eastern Kentucky and in the woods and never see a road or a highway or a town.
Well, think about states like Montana.
Right. Yeah.
Maine. You know, Don said Maine is underreported. You know, and like in many places in Maine, and what are you going to do? You're going to try to report your Bigfoot sighting through, you know, I mean, a lot of those areas are not even, you know, they don't have fiber optic cables, so it's kind of a chore to get online and you know, go to a site like the BFRO and file a report, or, you know, call a local Bigfoot organization.
Nobody wants to talk about it, especially, you know, if they've got a reputation in the community, right. They don't want tarnished, you know, even back a few years ago when my neighbor noticed that he'd found the show on either online or on YouTube or Blog Talk One. And he started approaching me. Hey, Chris, you guys, you doing that Bigfoot show, right? I said, yeah, I do. Steve calls there every Sunday night.
Yep.
And then he started asking me questions and telling me some. I found some footprints around my feeder down by the river I couldn't explain.
Right. Really? Right.
Yeah. Very right. Cool.
You know, it never ceases to amaze me that we have to understand that there's been a paradigm shift in the last 5-7 years, and that a lot of reports are getting repeated via social media versus, you know, websites. Right. You know, 5-10 years ago, I would get tons of, you know, sighting reports at my website because people would try to locate somebody where they could report it. Now they just post it up on Facebook, or they go to a Facebook Bigfoot group and say, hey, I saw this or saw that, or a Reddit group or a Twitter group, or there's no Twitter groups, but you all follow what I'm saying. That's the way how things have changed. And that's why the BFR database may not really be accurate, but then again, if there's nobody there to research a Bigfoot sighting, there may be a ton of Bigfoot sightings in the BFRO database that haven't been investigated.
Yeah.
And because they haven't been investigated, they stay in this limbo that they're reported, but it doesn't show up on their official count.
Right. Yeah. You know, in this area, we've got a lot of woods, but we've got a lot of open farmland too. Right. And so that's why I concentrate my efforts on the Green River Basin. Mm-hmm. You know, you follow along that Green River and, you know, it'll run through a wooded area, then maybe go through an open area.
Right.
But,
it's very same way that, you know, when I had our man Pat, who had his sighting in Saratoga County, New York, that was right along a stream. And that stream came down from Lincoln Mountain, which is where we went to and had that rock thrown at us and that tree knock. Of course, all unprovoked, of course. It just happened.
Right.
And luckily, we were there to catch it. So, you know, what can you say other than, sightings are definitely underreported. So let's go to the next article.
Ooh, what we got? Oh, yeah. Right. Hey, man, this will be for Relic Tominen. Right. Got one over Bigfoot over in the UK. Look out.
Yeah. And very interesting story. And the funny thing is that the story came out April 1st, but the reporting agency Lad Bible said this is not, and there are fears Bigfoot stalking a national park in the UK. You may be right, Bigfoot in the UK, and this isn't some April Fool's trick. So they're being very serious in this. For those who have somehow never heard of one, it's also known as Sasquatch, and it is a huge hairy human-like creature usually believed to exist in the U.S. and Canada. Technically, it's said Bigfoot is just some mythical creature, but there are plenty of people out there that believe it's real, and obviously each to their own. Believers are now fearing there's one roaming around South Downs National Park. Locals claim they've heard of a growling creature that wanders around the area and escapes down a dangerous slope. Plus, there's a huge clue that whatever it is cannot be human. There's a large group of people who dedicate some of their time to this kind of thing, with many on the Cryptid and Paranormal Investigations group on Facebook. Here, users say they've had numerous close calls with the spooky creature, and some fishermen claim they ended up instantly leaving the area when they felt its presence. The Daily Star reports a user claimed, "I felt incredibly on edge, and it was feeling I can honestly say I had never experienced before or since. It was as if something was watching me and I was not welcome." While another said they were fishing on the banks when they encountered something large running on what I think was two legs on the opposite bank in the darkness. And things get creepier for them as they added. I was dozing on my chair next to the rods when I was woken up by a loud growl from the opposite bank. So why do they think it must be some kind of animal or creature? They both added that when the mysterious thing got off, and this is obviously a UK, when the thing got off, it went from such a steep incline that no human would dare to tackle without the risk of seriously getting hurt. I think most of the standout thing is the terrain being covered in the dark. It sounds dangerous enough to attempt in the daylight, let alone in the dark. When you can't see any obvious signs of torchlight, flashlight, that's the really scary part, because no human could do it without suffering an injury, one added. So Lad Bible's contact the National Park to see if it has anything to say about this mysterious creature, but so far there's no comment. So very interesting that, you know, now we actually have reports. And this is something rather new to me because I really don't study cryptids in the UK. In fact, I was just on a podcast today, that was out of the UK, and they were it's very interesting when you get Europeans, and there was one young woman from Germany there, that was asking me some really good questions, and, you know, you get your typical questions, but there were some, like, they started asking me about Bigfoot in the UK, and I said, well, I'm really not familiar with the UK as a continental thing, but if at one time the UK was part of, you know, when everything was all crushed together and part of the European continent, is it possible that, you know, something stayed on that?
Yeah, that's the thing. That's the only thing that's really is going against them, is because they really are an island, that is kind of against them. But we don't know. I mean, can you say for sure they're Bigfoot are or aren't there? No, we don't know.
Right.
But, you know, you got fishermen here getting a creeped out feeling and hearing something in the brush.
Moving along, and one guy actually seeing one.
Right.
And the steep incline. Now, some people could say, well, what if it was some sort of, you know, I don't believe, I mean, I think the panther issue in the UK is very similar to the way it is in many states here too, is that, you know, supposedly they don't have, you know, any kind of panthers in the UK. Yeah. So I don't know what would a Bigfoot eat in the UK? Well, I believe they have plenty of deer over there, obviously.
Yeah.
And, you know, because they go on fox hunts, they go on deer hunts there all the time. And
what was that you had when you went over there doing the Loch Ness thing over in Scotland? You did the bangers and mash or something, or what was it? Bangers and mash, I think's what it was. I can't remember. You eat some kind of weird thing. You said it was, or haggis. Haggis, that's what it was.
No, it was actually black pudding that I like.
Black pudding, okay.
Right. Oh, it's delicious. It's fried up. And it's made with oats, and it's, you know, yes, it's not for the weak hearted and blood, but it's spiced up, it's fried. And I tried it, and I'm like, you know, I said, I'm going to give it a try. Sure. And I was like, wow, this tasted wonderful.
Yeah.
And it accompanied the breakfast so well. So I would have, every morning I was over there, I would have two eggs, sausage, bangers, black pudding, yeah, and of course a ration of bacon, but it's the UK bacon, and the UK calls our kind of bacon side strap bacon, because it comes from a different area. Like, our bacon comes from a different area than their bacon does.
Yeah. Well, I know, like, when you're out of the country, you should always kind of like push yourself outside your comfort zone with food and give it a try.
Absolutely, because I tried haggis and it was all right. I don't think I would get it again. But black pudding, man, absolutely. In fact, I managed to find a distributor here in the United States at one time. There used to be a store that used to have UK products. Unfortunately, they closed, but I would get a tube of black pudding to put in the freezer, and you would pull it out, slice it, you know, the slices you want, and then fry them up, have them with your breakfast. And it was delicious. And, in fact, there was a couple of people I had try it, and they're like, you know, that's really not bad. That's actually pretty good.
Yeah. Yeah.
So really interesting. And how to explain how it tastes is really difficult, but it was very flavorful, company breakfast very well.
You never know till you try. You know, Sandy, my wife, is from Thailand, and when she first came here, we had to go to the Asian food store, okay, to buy stuff that she knew how to cook. And she started making all these Thai dishes. Okay, well, Mr., you know, in the sticks in Kentucky, I'd never eat any Thai food. You know, what is that? Okay, is it like Chinese food? Well, no. Yep. And so she fixed a plate of this stuff, and I think it was the first one I had was like green curry chicken. And, you know, I take a bite of it. And boy, it lit me up. Oh, wow.
Some of the Thai curries are like,
whoosh. Oh, ooh. Yeah. Got to kind of tone that. She had to tone that down a little bit for me because I can't. Now, right. Listen, folks, I'm not no pansy. I can sit there and chew jalapeno peppers all day long. I love them. But now what was in that was liquid fire. It burnt me up.
Liquid fire going in and probably liquid fire going out.
Yeah. Well, I don't want to discuss that, but yeah, you're probably right. But yeah.
It's the kind of stuff when you eat, you got to wear asbestos underwear.
Yeah. But, you know, but some of the Thai food, after she toned it down a little bit where I could actually eat it without, you know, the top of my head bursting into flames, it's my favorite food by far. I love it. I love that spicy stuff, you know, not, you know, to a degree.
And Bill, I'm sorry you're not feeling well. Get well soon, brother.
Yeah. Hang in there, bud. Hope you feel better.
You know, it's funny, Chris.
Well, Matt. Hey, Matt. Central Florida Bigfoot.
Yeah, Matt's been hiding out there and stuff. Yeah,
he's been lurking.
Lurking. I'm also wondering, you know, why we don't have a cooking show, Chris, because we seem to talk about food a lot here on the channel.
Oh, yeah. I ain't missed a meal in my life. You could tell by looking at me.
Yeah, you know, and with me, my favorite food is seconds. So,
well, a lot of the times, I mean, you wouldn't think, of course, you know, I can't cook, but about, my headphones is messing up on me. Okay. But about, I don't know, maybe 11 years or 12 years ago, maybe longer than that, I started making homemade pizzas. And I said, well, you know, I'm going to have a lot of crappy pizzas, but I'm going to find out how to do it. I'm going to make my own sauce. I'm going to make my own dough recipe. I'm going to do all, you know, everything. Except, you know, of course, I got to buy the pepperonis. I can't make those. And the cheese, you know, grate my own cheese and all that. And finally, after about 7 or 8 years, got it pretty good. I can do it pretty good now. Yeah, but it just, well, practice. We had to eat a lot of crappy pizzas, boy. Practice. Until I figured out how to do it. Yeah, practice makes perfect.
Yeah, my specialty is making ribs and meat on the grill because I create my own rubs. And then I have, you know, for like ribs, I have a slow cooking process with the rubs on, and then it moves to the grill with the sauce that I make. Of course, I make my own barbecue sauce as well. So, and Italian food, I make my own sauces and stuff like that. But anyway, we've gotten completely off topic.
Oh, sorry. Yeah. Don't get me talking about food. We'll be here all night.
We're going to lose half the audience here because they're going to want to run to the refrigerator and get something to eat talking about this. But the topic of Bigfoot in the UK is always, it's an interesting one. It was one I was very skeptical about, but the more I'm reading encounters from there, which is coming out more recently, it's very fascinating. And you know, it's not like the UK is highly populated. In fact, let's take a look at the national park right there, and you can see there isn't many populated centers around. There's little villages all around the place. And if you know the UK, you know, you have cities that are sporadically put, you know, in place, like Edinburgh and London and Inverness, and I'm sure there's a bunch more that you know, not off the top of my head, but then you have these little, you know, West Burton and Binger and Sullington. Those are all small little villages. West Chinnington and you know, Polby, they're all small villages. And of course, Fiddleworth. I always thought that was a great name. Fiddle.
Yeah, you got to realize that's a lot of area. I mean, we're not talking Hawaii here. We're talking, that's a lot of area. So right. I think the possibility exists. You know, I think it's there. But
And as you can see, it's on the southern coast of the UK. And that would make kind of more sense to me, too, than one being actually up in Scotland, where the weather can be quite severe for most of the year. I've been to Scotland, and I asked what kind of weather they have there, and their typical response was, well, we have weather. And it was very true, because they get hit with easterly Atlantic winds and westerly Atlantic winds in the same day. Yeah. It can change in an hour. And like, it would be like in the 60s and 70s, 1 minute, and then 2 hours later in the middle of the day, it'll be in the 40s. And then by evening, it may go up to the 50s and 60s again. So it's really a weird variable type of weather system there. And I was there in February. So yeah, the weather probably would be a little more on the chillier side than it would be on the summer side. But I got to say this, that, you know, there wasn't many rains there. Like you get in the southern part of England, they get a lot of rain in the south.
Well, we're certainly getting rains now, April showers. Well, we had the May flowers because we've been getting a lot of rain.
Yeah, that's true. I mean, we get rain, but they don't say April showers for no reason at all.
Yep. Hopefully I'll get that yard mowed this weekend if it don't rain, or Andy will. My youngest son.
Get him out there. Yeah. So this Sunday we're having the great Canadian researcher Thomas Steinberg on. He's only a couple of years older than me, but he was doing this for 10 years, 15 years longer than me. And he's always been one of the people I look up to.
Very respectable, yes.
And always very ground-based. And I think it's going to be a great show on Sunday, having Tom on and hearing his latest things. And, of course, we're trying to keep things positive here. So that's always a plus. And while we're keeping positive, now it's time for the shameless plug. If you want to catch, and I know Jen requested that we make some women's V-neck shirts, and we have now V-neck shirts in the shop as well. So there it is. We have a new shop. We actually moved away from the original shop, and now we have the shop. And unfortunately, I'm sorry, that's the kind of link they give us. But the beautiful thing about this link, this store, is that it's linked directly to YouTube. So if you click on the store tab on YouTube, it will take you to the store. And not only do we have branded merchandise, including a army green Squatch Detective Field Team shirt with the grayscale logo that we created, and that looks pretty phenomenal. I was very happy the way that turned out. And we now have a black mug provided by another printer. And we have a bunch of Bigfoot t-shirts out there and phone cases and stuff like that, in case you want a Bigfoot phone case.
It's bowling shirts. I was wearing one of those the other day.
Well, the interesting thing is that I have the opportunity. I may just do that for myself, but you can create a hockey jersey with and deck it out.
Never been into hockey, really. It's
no, I haven't, but it'd be kind of cool having a Squatch D TV hockey jersey.
Yeah,
right. That would be kind of cool.
Maybe popular in Canada. Yep. Never know.
So that's our shameless plug for the night. Of course, you want, and thank you, Bat Mom, again for, you know, becoming a new member. That's Bat another Mom. You know, if you like merchandise and you like neat little quirky Bigfoot stuff, this is a good way to support the channel by buying one of those products, or you can join the membership. And we always have super chats and all that other stuff if, you know, you want to do that. You want something physical for your money, there it is. We give you that option and recommend that option. So we got a lot planned for this year. I'm up to 5 events for the year. And that's usually about, I do 5 or 6, maybe 4 sometimes, but we have, coming up, we have the Rochester Paranormal Fest, which is outside of Rochester, New York. It's not actually in the city of Rochester, but it's the nearest big city. That's coming up. We have, the Hocking Hills, Bigfoot Festival. Rochester's in June. Hocking Hills is in August, the beginning of August. Yeah. then which is huge. And the three big ones are all back to back. Then we have in September, we have the Pennsylvania camping, Bigfoot camping adventure. And then finally, we have,
I'll look at Hocking Hills and see how far I am from that.
Well, actually,
it's in Ohio.
It's in Logan, Ohio. And, you know, it's a great time. I mean, it's a 2-day affair, Friday and a Saturday. And you can show up there Friday if you can find a hotel, because they book up fast there.
Yeah.
Last year's crowd was 41,000 people. But you're talking about 5 city blocks of Bigfoot stuff and great vendors and great food. I was there and the lemonade stand was phenomenal.
About a 5-hour drive for me. I could probably do that. I'm going to have to take my walk.
Yeah, that's right. Jen says she'll be seeing me 3 times this year. Yep, she's going to Pennsylvania, and hopefully she'll be up at Whitehall. Whitehall's always a blast. And she was up there last year along with Finding the Trackway and Sasquatch Wizard Adirondacks. And who knows, maybe somebody else will sneak down here. For the Whitehall event, like Don Gummow, Don is close by.
Yeah.
Yep. That's
I went to the one up there at Salt Fork with you that year, Steve. Yep. We went up there and there was a lot of people there.
Actually, there was a Bigfoot. He was on a Harley.
Yeah.
And we caught that on the, and I happened to be out there when it showed up, and I was like, I got right on there like, oh, there comes a Bigfoot on a Harley. And here comes the Harley rolling in. So.
But yeah,
Whitehall is September 29th, I believe, this year. If you go and check out look it up on Facebook, type in Whitehall Sasquatch Calling Festival, and this year's info, or you go to squatchdetective.com. I have the dates all there. Squatchdetective.com will have the dates of all my events. And then I have an event in October that I haven't added yet on the site, and that's going to be in Duanesburg, New York. It's a paranormal cryptid UFO expo. And Gloversville, New York, rather. And Gloversville is just outside of Schenectady and covers a lot of Montgomery County and Schenectady County and Fulton County. So it should be a good time out there as well.
Jeff Strader says, Calls, I'm waiting for Bigfoot to be on the show. Tired of looking at people.
Yeah, well, you know,
we can do, Jeff.
My name isn't Igor. I can't have him on. I mean, that would have been my biggest question. If you're gonna have Bigfoot call, you might as well have him video chat. Yeah. Right? You can do that on your phone. Just have him, you know, instead of hitting dial, just hit the Facebook Messenger and go to, or if you have an iPhone.
If what I can catch hell? another sighting out there in Kentucky, you know, I'll try to do an interview.
Right.
I don't know how it'll go, but
they'll probably throw a rock at you. Well, or also you see a squirrel go flying by.
I'll try to upload it on my phone, you know, through the cellular connection. So if I don't make it out of there, you guys can watch and see how I died.
And I've said it once, and I'll say it again. You know. People say, well, what does this have to do with Bigfoot research, all these events and expos? Well, for us, the actual researcher, and there is a huge benefit to this.
Oh, yeah.
For example, one of the coolest things is that the amount of people that come forward in these things and tell you their encounter is unbelievable.
You can share information, because there's a lot of stuff that's not going around in the public know.
Right. And I had one guy, and what I try to do was when I was in Ohio and this guy came up to me and his girlfriend kind of pushed him, and he was an older guy. He was probably in his late 50s, early 60s. And he was literally so emotional about his Bigfoot sighting. I said, well, I don't investigate here, but you know what? Let me get somebody that can. And luckily, David Wickham Taters was there, and I grabbed him. I said, "You want to talk to this guy? Get his information, you know." And I introduced him to Taters. I said, "This is a really respectable guy. He's a good, solid researcher. You know, I appreciate your story. Tell him this, your story as well, and maybe he can go out and help you out and try to, because he was really, you can always tell because there's people that have Bigfoot sightings that really get torn up about it. It's traumatic for them. Right. And this, and this was one of those cases as well.
Well, you know, I imagine it does work on some psyches, you know, it's like, you see something that's not supposed to exist, that, that does mess with your mind. And well, you discuss a little bit about stuff like
that. Right, right. It does, it can mess up your mind. Mm-hmm. But luckily, the guy wasn't seeing Bigfoot everywhere or being afraid that Bigfoot was everywhere. He was just really afraid about going back into the forest or even being alone out in the forest, or even with a, you know, his girlfriend or wife. Yeah. So, you know, and, you know, I talked to the, while David was talking with him, I was talking with the wife and, you know, she was like, he's torn up about this. Yeah. I remember the day he came home and told me he was just, so really, you know, that's a real good reason why to go out and do some of these things is because the people you meet and then, you know, you got to meet the fans and the fans, you know, unfortunately, you know, it's strange to me sometimes when people think that I'm a big deal to come up to and, because I'm just a normal guy. I'm like everybody else. I put my pants on the same way everybody else does, you know, one leg at a time. And, you know, so it's kind of humbling when people think you're some sort of celebrity because you've been on some of these documentaries.
Saw Steve on TV. Hey, dude. Yeah, I had the, my favorite, the Nat Geo special about Loch Ness. My favorite. I love it.
Yeah, that that made me look like a rock star, and I you know, and you know, well, the
you
same
are,
thing.
You are.
I am not a rock star.
You are. Yes.
No.
I disagree. I think you
are. Yeah, and First Kind said souvenirs are cool too. Absolutely.
Yeah.
You know, you can pick up a lot of like Bigfoot novelties. It's one of the few places where you want something Bigfoot, you can get it very easily. Yeah. When I'm there, I usually put out my, you know, now I have a cast collection I put out. As I have, and I got a thing. I have the Fort Ann cast, obviously, and then I have the Patterson-Gimlin cast, and then I have the cast from the state of Washington that was cast by a an actual forest ranger out there that they found dermal ridges off that. So I have those on display and the stories about them there. So people, and it's a real showstopper because. The cool thing about putting a track on there, as I've learned, or putting tracks out there is it makes people stop.
Yeah.
And one made some people stop. But when you put out a few, it makes people stop in their tracks when they want to look.
Well, yeah. And I noticed on the Hocking Hills footage there that some of the kids like really liked having their picture made with a holding that cast.
Right.
You know, that's a good thing.
Right. And it's a great way to connect with, you know, the fans that read my books. You don't know how many times I've had people come up to me. They've already bought the book on Amazon and they want me to sign it, which is kind of cool. And then there's some people that bought a book. They want to buy a new book and they want to have me sign both. And it's humbling. It's very humbling, but it's fun. It's a lot of fun. And, I think that, and then you have that opportunity when you lecture to educate. And that to me has always been fun about this is educating people about Bigfoot, what it is, what it may be and what it's not. And, you know, and fears, a lot of people have fears.
Well, yeah, it changes. It changes people. You got guys that's been hunting in the woods all their life. They have a sighting. They don't want to go hunting no more.
And First Kind, you really want to go to the Pennsylvania Bigfoot Camping Adventure. It's a great little thing. It starts on a Friday night. Goes through Sunday afternoon, and it's a great time. They got a great lineup of speakers, a great bunch of guests coming, and they have night hikes where we actually go out, and I'll probably be taking a group out, and where we actually go in, you know, into areas that are rich with Bigfoot sightings. Dave Dragason, the late great Dave Dragason, I love him. God rest his soul. Was one of the greatest orators of telling some of these encounters. And he was a good sketch artist and he had sketched a lot of those. So yeah, if you want to go to one, that's really a serious and really cool one. So come on out and make sure you introduce yourself to me, you know, say, hey, you know, I'm First Kind .1 or, you know, 1.0 or whatever. And, you know, we'll have a good time. And of course I look forward to seeing Bill and Jen out there as well, as well whoever else shows up. It's going to be a really good time.
Yeah, the chat's getting a little racy there every now and then.
Oh, yeah. Should we expect...
spicy?
Should we expect any less?
No.
But First Kind, make sure you get your tickets now, because they may sell out of some of the other hikes and stuff like that, because they can only take a limited amount of people, obviously. And David Wickham is going to be there, I believe. He's going to he's going to be up at the event as well. So that's going to be a great. Jay Bachochin will be there. Dr. Brian Parsons will be there. Kenny Biddle from Skeptical Inquirer, he'll be there too.
Kenny, yeah.
So it's going to be a really hell of a good time. Eric Altman, of course.
Yeah. I really, really like David Wickham. He's such a great guy.
He is here
in Kentucky. Wonderful guy.
Yeah. And he's got such a big heart.
Yeah.
Such a big heart. And love the guy to death. He's one of those kindred spirits. As well as Jay Bachochin. Jay's got a good heart too. So you find these people, the good hearts, and Jay is a little more on the inquisitive side. David's more of the process side of things. And you can see the different styles. It's very interesting watching the different styles of how people do things, but should be a great time. Looking forward to it. That is a wonderful event. Of course, then we've talked about that. Let's talk quickly about Whitehall. Whitehall is going to have, if you want to know Bigfoot in New York, our good friend, Tactical Bigfoot Research, Mike Ann, will be there.
Mike.
We'll probably see Alex Petikoff out there from Small Town Monsters. Paul Bartholomew, a longtime researcher in the area and author, one of my two mentors, will be there. Usually Brian Goslin, the police officer who had the incident at A-Bear Road, he will be there normally. Yeah. And then this knucklehead will be there. And can't forget Emily Fleur, the Forest Fleur site. She does a lot of Bigfoot stuff. She's down from the lower Hudson Valley in New York. And of course, this knucklehead will be doing his little lecture there. And usually what I do is for our members in chat or any of our YouTube, if you're one of our subscribers,
Jeff, you're killing me, man.
Members first. If I can get you up to the Sasquatch Whitehall Festival every year at night, we go to Research Area 1 or Research Area 2, and we do a little investigation. So, and last year, of course, we caught that one whoop call, which is really amazing. So, but anyway, Chris, that's it for the Bigfoot news tonight.
Yeah, but I've got to put Jeff's comment up here because this one kills me. Jeff Strader says, I can't go to the New England area. I'd have to burn my boots if they touched Yankee soil.
Oh, now, come on now. Come on.
No, Jeff, you get some of those little things from the hospital that nurses put over their shoes, and that saves you plenty of shoes. You just take those little things off and
I can assure you, Jeff, if you visited Kentucky or visited New York, you don't have to pay taxes in New York if you're just visiting, right? You're all good with that. But you know what? We do have some really great and unique foods up here as well. Our pizza, bar none, is some of the best.
Pizza. Yes, New York pizza. Oh, yes. Good stuff.
We have hot dogs up here that'll challenge any Michigan hot any day of the week. Trust me on that one as well. And then we have some good.
I don't know. Now, Chicago's got some pretty good dogs, though, Steve.
Oh, I don't know. We have a place up here. They just hit their 75th anniversary. And if you think about it, that's a long time. They've been open since the 50s.
We're talking about food again.
Yeah, we are. Yep, and mac and cheese. We're a very big mac and cheese place. Jeff says the in-laws are in New Hampshire. So, Jeff, next time you go visit the in-laws, if you have time to swing by New York, we're only a couple hours away, I will personally give you a tour of Research Area 1.
Cool.
And the Whitehall area. And that goes out to anybody. If you're in the area, reach out to me, and I will gladly give you a tour free of charge. I don't believe in charging for going on an expedition with me. I don't believe in charging for going out into the woods to me. It's my honor to take people out there. So understand that as well. Yeah, yeah, Jeff, I'm staying away from that comment right now. More to come. But anyway, I want to keep things positive. But we will be back Sunday night, 9 p.m. Eastern, with Tom Steinberg, right for Squatch TV. And Chris, any final thoughts?
Well, I just want to thank everybody for joining us tonight. We appreciate you guys. And we got the greatest audience in Bigfootery shows of all. And we appreciate you guys. We know it. And we're always very humbled and pleased and honored that you would share your time with us on Friday night and Sundays. You know, we love you guys. And if it's your first time watching, you know, click the subscribe, whatever you got to do, hit the notification bell.
Yeah, that notification bell is important. That way you get the alerts.
Yeah. And if you're listening on a podcast, man, come on by the YouTube channel and check it out.
Right, right, right. And okay, folks, my behalf, thank you for all coming in tonight. And we love y'all, and we will see you here Sunday night. Everybody be good. Peace out.